This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama and then our feature development and the economy. I am John Baptist Tumusime. On Friday, Pope Francis received an audience members of the Society of the Divine Word Missionaries who have gathered in Rome for their general chapter. A general chapter is the supreme assembly of a religious congregation which defines the policies and the way forward. It also elects the superior general and his governing council. Reflecting on the theme of the chapter, "Your light must shine before others," faithful and creative disciples in a wounded world, Pope Francis explained that God's word generates, gives life, inspires, and motivates. It is the focal point of the mission of the Congregation of the Divine Word Missionaries. He said evangelization demands familiarity with God's word, and that is the source from which the members of the Society of the Divine Word are always born and reborn as faithful disciples and creative missionaries. Being a faithful disciple, the Pope said, is a commitment of every baptized member of the Church and is visible through the way we live and through the way we transmit the love of God to others. Being creative missionaries, on the other hand, the Pope added, comes from Christ who lives within the missionary and makes him or her share in his mission through the Holy Spirit. The Pope emphasized that it is Christ and not the missionary who attracts hearts to himself. The missionary's role, he said, consists in working with all his might, employing all his talents in the certainty that the Holy Spirit is always at work. Underlining this aspect, the Pope appreciated the fact that the members of the Society of the Divine Word Missionaries today serve in 79 different countries, proclaiming the gospel and making present in the world the kingdom of God. He reminded them that this work should be done more by spreading joy than by imposing obligations. Creative missionary activities, he said, are born of love for the Word of God, and creativity is born of contemplation and discernment. While personal initiatives are good, the Pope added, creative activity on the part of the community is better for the unity and strength of the Church. Earlier on Friday morning, Pope Francis had received an audience the Orthodox Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, His Holiness Bartholomew I, and his delegation, who have come to the Vatican to take part in the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, the patrons of the Diocese of Rome, which will be celebrated this Saturday, June 29th. Every year, on November 30th, Pope Francis also sends a delegation to Constantinople in Turkey to take part in the celebration of the Feast of St. Andrew the Apostle, the patron of the Orthodox See of Constantinople.
Sono grato all'amato fratello Sua Santità Bartolomeo.
In his address, Pope Francis noted that the presence and participation of the two delegations is not only an experience of the joy of fraternal encounter between him and Patriarch Bartholomew I, but also an important occasion for them to bear witness to the profound bonds uniting the sister churches of Rome and Constantinople, as well as their firm resolve to progress together towards the restoration of that Christian unity to which the Holy Spirit alone can guide the churches. He recalled the journey of Christian reconciliation, which was reignited by the historic meeting in Jerusalem between Pope Paul VI, now Saint, and the Orthodox Ecumenical Patriarch Athenagoras 60 years ago.
He said that meeting was a sign of great hope that continues to inspire the faithful of both churches who desire Christian unity. The Holy Father also recalled his meeting with Patriarch Bartholomew I in Jerusalem in 2014 to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the first ecumenical meeting between Pope Paul VI and Patriarch Athenagoras, and thanked God for that shared pilgrimage and for the friendship that has developed between the two to date, as evidenced by the many meetings they have had since then, and the cooperation between the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church on matters of great significance for the churches and for the world, such as the care of creation, the defense of human dignity and peace. Echoing earlier statements made by Patriarch Bartholomew I, who the Pope referred to throughout his address as his brother, the Holy Father said that dialogue between churches poses no risk to the integrity of the faith. Rather, it is a necessity arising from their fidelity to the Lord and leading them to the whole truth through an exchange of gifts under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Concluding his address, Pope Francis expressed concern about the ongoing fighting in the Holy Land and called for the cessation of hostilities. He also called for peace in all parts of the world where fighting is taking place, especially in Ukraine. The Pontifical Charity Foundation Aid to the Church in Need has launched an emergency campaign in Portugal to raise funds to support refugees in the ongoing conflict in Sudan who have crossed into neighboring South Sudan. The director of the charity in Portugal, Catarina Martins, told reporters on Thursday that the civil war in Sudan has been forgotten by the international community, yet it has killed thousands of people and displaced millions. She appreciated the people of South Sudan for welcoming Sudanese refugees, but pointed out that the people in South Sudan were already facing humanitarian challenges before the civil conflict in Sudan broke out last year, and therefore the influx of the refugees has added another problem to the situation. Miss Catarina appealed to all people of goodwill to donate something. The Catholic bishops of the ecclesiastical province of Abuja in Nigeria have issued a statement calling upon the federal government to invest in projects that help young people in the country to realize their potential. The bishops concluded their meeting on Wednesday, and in the statement they noted that a section of Nigerian youth are unable to reach their full potential in society because of unemployment. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Nearly 2 million people will go to the polls on Saturday in the West African nation of Mauritania to elect a president. The incumbent President Mohamed Ould Ghazouani, a former army chief who came to power in 2019 following the first democratic transition in the country's history, is seeking a second term. He faces seven opponents, among them Biram Dah Abed, an anti-slavery activist who is a candidate for the third consecutive time, along with leaders of several opposition parties and a neurosurgeon. Mauritania, one of the most stable countries in the Sahel region, has been hailed as a key partner in curbing migration and fighting extremism. Last year, Mr. Ghazouani's El Insaf party secured a crushing victory in the legislative election, taking 107 of the 176 seats in the National Assembly. Authorities in the Democratic Republic of Congo have approved the use of two mpox vaccines to try to tackle an upsurge in cases and a dangerous new strain spreading in the country. The DRC has seen 20,000 cases and more than 1,000 deaths from mpox, mainly among children, since the start of last year. The disease is a viral infection that spreads through close contact, causing flu-like symptoms and pus-filled lesions. Most cases are mild, but it can kill. This week, the World Health Organization and scientists warn of a new, more deadly strain spreading in Congo's South Kivu province. The regulator has issued an emergency use authorization for both Genios, a shot manufactured by Bavarian Nordic, and LC16 made by KM Biologics. Although the two vaccines have been approved, the Vaccine Alliance, Gavi, which funds the purchase of vaccines for low-income countries that are unable to do so alone, cannot buy them without them being pre-qualified by the World Health Organization, a form of approval. Kenya's High Court has approved the deployment of the country's military to restore order following days of protests against a tax bill that at some point overwhelmed police. On Wednesday, the High Court halted the deployment of the army, which the president had ordered to support police following the nationwide deadly protests against tax increases a day earlier, in which at least 23 people were killed. A judge said the military deployment was critical to protect government installations, but gave the authorities 2 days to clarify how long the deployment would last, along with its rules of engagement. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Development and Economy, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kenyatta Godfrey Kampamba. Many African countries suffer severe infrastructure deficiencies, including energy and transport network. In order to promote development and make a successful transformation, African countries need to improve and develop infrastructure. Most experts are in fact agreed that these important elements are a necessary ingredient, especially if enhanced by attracting foreign resources and increasing productivity. Young people are among the forces that actually play a crucial role in the development of a country. This is because the youth population is often the most active part of society, which makes them a valuable resource that can contribute to the social, economic, and cultural advancement of a nation. In Zambia, for instance, the government is fostering youth participation in the civic space by addressing youth unemployment through entrepreneurship, pursuing climate change mitigation, and ensuring technological accessibility. The government does this in many ways, including through ensuring the education of the Zambian youth. One of the beneficiaries of the initiatives of the Zambian government to develop the Zambian youth so that they can constructively contribute to national development is a young man from Zambia's capital, Lusaka. Charles Daka traveled on a government scholarship to Algeria, where he studied civil engineering up to master's level. At the end of his master's program, Charles opted to pursue another master in transport engineering on another government-supported scholarship offered by the Italian government. He is currently studying at Rome's La Sapienza University. Speaking to me in a special interview, Charles reveals the fact that he plans to put his acquired knowledge in engineering at the service of his country and in this way participate in the efforts to make a successful transformation of infrastructure in Zambia, especially in the transport sector.
I was born and raised in Lusaka, one of the provinces in Zambia, one of the 10 provinces actually in Zambia, in a compound called Chipata. I am born from a family of 7 children, 3 being male and the other 4 being female.
How were the early years in primary school?
Yeah, so I studied my primary education at a Catholic school, and St. Paul's actually located in Lusaka. And I studied for 9 years at the same school. Yeah, so I studied there up to grade 9. I did my grade 7 exams at the school, and I also did my grade 9 exams at the school, of which I was able to get really good grades, and that is much so attributed to the level of education that the school instilled in us, and also not only that, but it also goes to the levels of discipline that not only the teachers at the school instilled in us, but also the sisters we have at the school instilled in us. Because the school really didn't just help us with academics. Me being a Christian, and I believe most of my colleagues were so, Zambia being a Christian nation, actually an obligation for us to attend a church service for that fact. So that only not instilled the Christian values within us, but also it helped us in our day-to-day lives.
You left the familiar surroundings and city life for the unknown world in rural Zambia, Eastern Province to be specific, in search of knowledge. What necessitated this move and change of environment?
There was really much of the need for a change of environment. And also Chizongwe being, at the time, it was actually one of the best schools in the country. So it has been a school where the best students, those students who are hardworking, mostly find themselves. And so I happened to have found myself at the school. That was in 2014. Actually, I was starting my grade 10, that is high school at the time. So I moved to the school. Initially, I didn't like the experience because it was my first time being at a boarding school. And I remember when my parents took me there, it was so devastating. I cried for that fact, especially when they left. So initially, it wasn't really something that I was looking forward to. I was tired before the journey had begun. But through persistence, I tried to push myself a week, a month, and then you realize you're already a year into your studies. And then over time, I got to realize that actually that was one of the best decisions my parents have ever made for me, because the decision was not entirely mine. So I found myself there, in as much as I didn't like the idea, like I've earlier stipulated. But over time, I got to realize that it was actually a good place for me to be, especially in the academical context.
Boarding schools, normally, there are all sorts of things happening there. Did you have to experience some of those things?
Exactly. Those are the same things that make you want to go back home initially. Because when you have been so fond of day school, those are things that don't happen there. So when you get to a boarding school, you find maybe grade 10s, they are the guys doing most of the job. So you'll be woken up.
Most of the job, you mean?
Exactly. Mm. So you'll be woken up, say, maybe at 5 when your seniors are sleeping, and you'll be now the guys to do the job. Say when you're eating at the dining, everyone else will leave, but yourselves, you have to stay back because you have to be the guys to clean. So there was all that. And initially, it's quite discouraging. And you feel like, no, at home, when I was at a day school, I wasn't having such an experience. And so why is it that I'm actually in this place? But then over time, you get to realize that they are just nurturing you into the positions where they are currently occupying, because even them, in the positions that they are in right now, initially they were not there. So they have gotten to that position. And
it's like an initiation into something.
Exactly.
That is part of school life.
Yeah.
How do you appreciate that now?
Well, it has helped me quite a lot. I hope I can talk about my experience, my work experience as well, because the same concept happens when in industries, because you just don't go there and you are the big man, you are the boss, no.
So what you are saying is a bit of mockery is okay in boarding school?
I think so. We might want to give it a name as mockery, but I like the word. Not really abuse. I think we are kind of misplacing the words, but I would rather call it orientation, as you have said at first, because we are kind of nurturing us to responsibilities that are ahead of us. Okay, but as someone who is in that position, you might not be able to recognize that as, okay, these people are helping me actually with what they are doing. But over time, when you get now to a level, maybe you're in grade 11 or grade 12, you get to realize, to say, okay, this is what the guys were doing. And it's our equal responsibilities as well to pass on the tradition to the guys who are coming behind us.
Mm. Yeah. Now, what about your academic life? How do you talk about Chizongwe?
Well, Chizongwe, like I earlier said, is one of the best high schools in Zambia. Yeah, and it so happens that actually I met some of the best students I've ever studied with in my life. So these are guys who literally spend most of their time on books, and they are very much dedicated. And you might want to see that as a disadvantage, but really for me it was a motivation, being with people who are pushing you to be better in life. And that has been the concept that I really loved the most about this school. Not only amongst our students, but also if we go to, we call them teachers, okay? Teachers were quite helpful.
And that was Charles Daka, a Zambian engineering student at Rwanda Sapienza University, talking to me about his life and studies as he prepares to be a future partner in the efforts to make a successful transformation of infrastructure in Zambia, especially in the transport sector. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Development and the Economy. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
Coming up next, a reflection on this Sunday's readings, prepared and presented by Father Enobong Udaidyong.
When a person is born, there is great joy. Then when a person dies, there is much sadness. The reality of death is something we cannot escape from. We can be affected directly or indirectly by this reality. This Sunday, in the first reading from the Book of Wisdom, the author seeks to know why and how did this painful reality of death amongst us came to be. The search makes it clear that God did not make death. God is the author of life. Death came as a reward for sin, but in Christ, who died for us, death and sin have been destroyed. So in Christ Jesus, we are raised to life. Death has no power over us because the death Christ died, he died to sin. And the life he lives to God, and so also all who believe in him. The culture of death is associated with sin. God, as the author of life, seeks to redeem his creatures from the fear associated with death. Since we have been baptized into Christ, we are called then to be promoters of the culture of life. As Christ has rightly said, he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Life from the very point of conception is sacred and must be protected till natural death. Every human life is precious and sacred and must be protected. The culture of death, as seen in our world today, is against the Christian teaching on life. The culture of death is against peace, joy, and progress. Every Christian, as a promoter of life, is expected to work for whatever will make life meaningful and never against life. The respect for the dignity of human life is what Jesus is teaching us in the Gospel of this Sunday. His respect for the sacredness of life made Jesus in the Gospel reading, according to Mark chapter 5, to immediately go with the man who begged him to come and heal his little daughter, who was on the verge of dying. His readiness to alleviate the suffering due to sickness also made him to stop and look for the woman who was suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years when he realized someone touched him. Here is a woman who spent all she had on treatment and all the doctors could not cure her. But when she touched Jesus, she was healed. Let us imagine the number of sick people who can be saved if we promote the culture of life in our communities. Christ heals through us, and he gives life through us. When we take a better look at the conditions of life in our communities, as Christians, we ask, Are we promoting the culture of life? The culture of war, violence, kidnapping, and killing is so alarming in our communities. At the slightest provocation, human life is lost. A peaceful protest for good governance is taken over by violence and loss of lives and destruction of properties. What values do we uphold when we act in this manner? We must take responsibility for the protection of human life as God's children. The lack of basic healthcare facilities and personnel that could help to preserve the life of the poor masses are also of great concern. What do Christian leaders do about policies that should sustain life? What about equipping healthcare facilities with personnel and resources to serve the needs of the people? How do we promote the culture of life in our communities when we do not respect human life? St. Paul, in the second reading, invites those who have abundance to be at the service of those who do not have, so as to sustain their life. Every Christian should be aware that life is sacred and should always be respected and protected. And when death, which is inevitable, comes as ordained by God, we should be happy to give glory to God for having lived a fulfilled life. Let us make the best of the gift of life in order to rejoice in eternity for the gift of eternal inheritance. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
That was a reflection by Father Enobong Udaidion from Nigeria. You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumosime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, The World Around Us. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.